The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey everybody, this podcast comes at the end of a very, very big week for the Giants. Obviously, they played well on the field, only lost one game on this homestand. They won in pretty dramatic fashion on Wednesday, and then they got Madison Bumgarner back. That was ironically the only game they lost during this homestand, but big things happening on the field. Johnny Cueto and Jeff Samardzija are going to throw bullpen sessions on Friday, so those guys are close. And if you're one of those people who looks at Samardzija's first month numbers and some of the things he did when he got back and complains about that, don't. It's somebody they need. They need the innings. They need him. He was good last year. So I think if they can get him healthy and get Cueto healthy and get them back, I mean, this is a team that really should be there the whole year. And they're playing good baseball right now. It's going to be a very tough road trip starting in Washington. But that really wasn't the only reason it was a big week. I think from a long-term standpoint, the bigger thing that happened was the draft. And that was a three-day thing for the Giants and for Major League Baseball. It ended on Wednesday with about 30 rounds on Wednesday. It's kind of crazy how they do all this. But Monday night was the first round and the second round and the supplemental picks. And for the Giants, it was huge. Their highest pick since 1985 when they took Will Clark. The last time they were in the top five, they took Buster Posey. And as you all know by now, they took a guy who is pretty similar in Joey Bart, a catcher from Georgia Tech. He is somebody that they love, somebody I think, you know, you could just tell by the faces of Giants officials the last couple of days that this was somebody that they feel is really going to be a centerpiece going forward. And obviously it worked out well with Buster. And I think they think this will kind of be the next generation and somebody who will help just lead the Giants for years to come, whether it's with Buster or after Buster. The easy question to ask is, what do they do with Buster when a catcher comes up? I think you look at the fact that Buster, I think, has already sat out 21 games this year, and he's getting older, he's in his 30s. Probably going to play more first base down the line. Brandon Belt can play some left field. It works. I think they can make this work. And if Joey gets up here pretty quickly, they're going to figure that out. So today's guest is draft-related. It is John Barr. He is the assistant general manager in charge of scouting. He is the scouting director for the Giants. He has been here since they took Buster and all the drafts afterwards. He was a very busy man, but he took some time during Tuesday's game. That's why you hear the press box announcements. When you're listening to this, you'll hear some base hits and some errors in the background, because we talked during that game. That was the only time you had. Just stepped away from the draft board for a little bit to talk about Joey and their second-round pick, Sean Jelly, and some of the other things that happened during the draft. And you know, we talked afterwards a little bit. One thing I asked John, and it wasn't during this podcast, but what's the most important thing here? And I think most people would agree that when you're drafting somebody high, it's not just talent, it's makeup. And he wanted to shout out Luke Merton, who's their area scout down there. Luke actually went to Georgia Tech. He is the brother of Matt Merton. Some of you might remember him. He was a big leaguer, a big-time prospect, I think. But anyway, Luke was down there, and he really got to know Joey and developed a relationship. And he was the one who kind of said, this is a kid who has a great makeup, and this is somebody who we can trust as number two pick, and he's going to make the most of his abilities. And I think, as you'll hear with John, once they met Joey and got into the process, they were pretty excited about that. It's not just the stuff on the field, it's the off-the-field stuff that I think a lot of times with top picks, if they don't make it, you wonder what happened. And I think they're pretty confident that Joey has the makeup to make good on being that number two pick. So John Barr is coming up. First, as always, a word from our sponsor. Two sponsors now. The first one, Wendy's. Right now, ride into Wendy's and try the Southwest Avocado Chicken Sandwich or Southwest Avocado Chicken Salad. The Southwest is coming to you, and it's only at Wendy's for a limited time at participating Wendy's. And you're going to hear from another sponsor right now, and then John Barr.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
All right, I am here with John Barr, who has been the busiest man in the organization the last probably months, I would imagine. First, what's the process like when you have the number two pick? I mean, when did you guys start really digging into this?
Well, I think it's the process. Everybody's been busy. All the amateur scouts have been very busy. Our staff of almost 25 guys have been very, you know, busy over the course of years. And then that doesn't even include the people in the office and all. It starts the day after the draft ends last year.
You don't even take a vacation? No.
Well, no, you really don't take any time because you have a lot of high school tournaments that will go on, the USA teams, the USA team, both the junior team and then also the college team. And then you try to go up to Cape Cod. You have the different collegiate leagues that you're making sure that people are covering. So, no, it's really the summer is one of the best times to see these players because they're playing against similar competition, and we are very busy. We start that all the way through. Now in January, that's when the season actually begins, but we do in-house meetings with all of our top guys in the fall and in the winter, and then we go into the spring and we have our pref list, and every single day we basically have, okay, if today was the draft, who are you going to take? And that's the process that we do, and we do that all the way up to the day of the draft.
So at what point in this process were you pretty sold on Joey Bart? It seemed like the consensus for a long time was that Casey Mize would go number one, and I know you obviously don't know until the moment of, but thinking that if Casey goes number one, I mean, at what point did you decide that Joey was your guy?
Well, we tried to keep it where we would have about five guys that we really thought might be. But we were doing the process as if we were picking one or if we were picking 20. You kind of run through the same exercise. First thing that we did was we identified players that could be our selection at number two. And then we started to scout them with numerous people and getting different looks of them. So as the season progressed, people kept coming back and saying that Mize, Joey Bart, you know, Singer, different players were right up there at the top. And then as you got closer to the draft, you started to refine that list and go back in and see them again and again and then make a decision.
We've seen Joey, obviously, now. Everybody saw the footage of him yesterday. I mean, we stood in this very same room here in the press box, and you had a huge smile on your face. I mean, what stands out about him, and what made you so happy with him as a number two pick?
Well, when you see someone that comes out like Joey, he's a leader. He's a leader on the field, and you see that right away, how he handles himself, how he carries himself. At Georgia Tech, he calls his own games, which is a step in the right direction there, and just learning a game and the speed of the game rather than just relying on somebody telling you what to throw. So he's looking at hitters. He's doing all that. But also when you watch him play, he plays the game with some ease. And he's really is an athletic kid. He can throw from all angles. He has a plus arm, and he handles a staff, and he takes pride in how that staff is. One of the things that he said to me was, "Yeah, the ERA of the pitchers are down this year, so I've been calling all the pitchers," and he was proud of that. And he actually told me that before even talking about his power displays. And he is a catcher who has plus catching skills, but also has power in his bat and has a chance to hit in the middle of the lineup.
How much did obviously, I mean, all your successes and maybe the picks that didn't work out play into this, but the fact that Buster became such a kind of a centerpiece for this organization, and then you have this other kid who does a lot of these same things well, how much did you guys look at that as just, we know what an impact he can make on the organization if he is who we think he is?
Well, actually, it's one of the things that I thought of was how difficult it is, because we had an impact player in Buster Posey, to take him and the expectations that might be placed upon him. The expectations of, well, the last person that was taken number two was Will Clark. Well, it's all, every year is different. And we can't compare him, and we can't expect Joey Bart to be Buster Posey. We can't expect him to be anybody else that's been there. We only want him to be who he is. And I think if Joey Bart becomes the player that we think he is and has the ability and we think he has the makeup, we think it's going to be a really good player.
The second round pick, I mean, he's 6'11". That's what stands out first of all.
Yes.
Sean.
Yes.
Jelly, I guess, is how it's pronounced.
Yes. Yes.
How did your impression of him from the first time you saw him and just right away see this huge kid to the fact that you've seen him over and over again, how did it kind of form over time? Because I guess you said yesterday, I mean, first of all, you would think he's a little bit gawky and maybe awkward, but you guys figured out pretty quickly he's athletic.
Well, Kevin Christman, our scout in the area there, did a very nice job with him, as did Luke Martin did with Joey Bart. He immediately identified him. We started to follow him once he came down there as a freshman. I mean, he stands out. You look around and he walks in the field. You say, oh, who's that guy? But we got a chance to see him pitch last year against some of the prospects that are in the SEC. And he was SEC Pitcher of the Year last year. We watched him perform and be very aggressive and pitch with confidence. And that's what really put him on our radar to someone to be looking at. He was someone that that we thought, okay, we got to follow up as the year goes on with him. So after numerous looks at him and watching him, we felt that he handles his body well. He is, I don't want to say more athletic than what you think he might be, but he's athletic is what he is, and he can move his feet, he can field his position, he can throw pitches for strikes, and four pitches for strikes for that matter, and he's a competitor. So as he has been growing up, we're feeling as he grows out, there's still some projection mm-hmm. there. So he might be able to throw harder, throw his breaking ball sharper, and just continue to progress as he gains strength.
Today, I mean, the thing that stood out was just college pitchers over and over again.
Yeah.
I guess sometimes the draft tells you who's at the top of your board, but what do you like about what you're able to do on day two?
Well, Jake Wong was our first selection on day two, and he was a kid from Grand Canyon University, and we saw him last summer out in Cape Cod. He pitched for Orleans. We got a chance to watch him throw out there and just did a nice, you know, just was put himself on our radar. Chuck Hensley, our scout in Arizona, followed him, Wong, throughout, and as people came into spring training, they would make sure they would go see Wong play and pitch and all. And he just stayed up there on the board. And he was someone that we thought, okay, if we can get this player at some point in the time of the draft, we're gonna definitely grab hold of him, because we feel like he has a chance to be a starter. He has a four-pitch mix, and fortunately, he was there in the third round for us.
And then you don't have to run through every guy.
All right.
But a bunch of pitchers today. I mean, does it feel like something that you've kind of restocked a little bit, maybe that part of your system?
Think, you know, you don't draft for need, but need is always in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to play out right. And going into this draft, we felt that there was depth in college pitching. There was some depth even in some high school pitching, and then signability would take place. But we thought that there was depth in pitching overall in this draft. So when it came time for us to sit there and make an evaluation, decide are we going to go with this pitcher or go with this position player, a lot of times that pitcher that we were looking at had the qualities to be a future starting pitcher at the major league level. Not saying that they're all going to become that, but they at least had the qualities to be that. And that's what we were trying to project. That's what we were looking at. And in turn, that's what we ended up we took. Now, tomorrow, that could be a different story. We may end up filtering in some players that will be up there on our draft board already reviewing it tonight. But there will also be other pitchers there, some of which will be relievers, people that we think will be a reliever. But still, there's pitchers up there with good arms, and there's still players on our board that will play in the major leagues. We just got to make sure we figure out which ones they are and get them in the system.
I'm going to let you go after this because I know you have, like you mentioned, a draft board up there and starts again tomorrow at 9 a.m. And I think you have, what, 30 more picks to make
or something like that.
But the last thing I wanted to ask you is I saw yesterday you guys took a photo with everybody who I think was involved in this process. And I think people, you know, on Twitter probably people think John's pick or Bobby's pick or Brian's pick. What do you do when this is over with your scouts, with your analytics people? How do you kind of – do you guys celebrate? Is there a big steak dinner?
There's a celebration. We actually – we celebrate and we applaud with each selection. But there's so many people, not just the people that were out there for the picture. There's so many people that put in such time and effort. And it's the system that makes the selection. It's not me that makes the selection. It's not Bobby. It's not Brian. It's all the people involved that make the selection. And that's from day one. Since I came here, I've always said it's a team pick. We all come into that room with our list on how we would select them. But when it's time for us to make the selection, it's the Giants list that is up on that board and how we're going to pick them. And it's countless hours from our scouts out in the field that have been driving around and trying to get players and or finding out about players to the people here in the office and looking at the analytics. It's a lot of people involved, a lot of hard work involved that makes this a successful draft. And I'm just happy to be part of that and be part of a group of people that have come together that tries to bring a group of players that comes to the Giants to win a World Series, because that's what we're here for. That's our focus from ownership all the way down to the last person on our staff. It is, let's try to find the best players we possibly can so we can possibly win another World Series championship.
Well, the fun part for us is now we take over and we watch what they do in the minors and see if they get up here, see if they're Bumgarner, who's on the mound right now. John, thank you for the time. I know you have a lot to do right now, so I'll let you get back to round 11, I guess.
Round 11 will start up, and we'll go 11 through to 40 this time.
All right, thanks, John.
Take care. Thanks.
It is out of here in the center field.
Got him.
And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.